Today's in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Aleph. We are learning today Lili Nishmas, Rachel Wanderer, Rachel Bas Aaron Moshe. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of all the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael. They should be able to bring back the Chatufim. They should not have any more casualties, Rachmona Litzlan, and they should, in fact, be able to complete their mission and bring peace to Eretz Yisrael, to Am Yisrael. Okay. We pick up the Gemara on the very last line of Pei Omid Beis. This is a famous Gemara. We bring down what is now going to be called a Braisa with Tanur Rabbanim, but we'll see ultimately that it may not be really a Braisa. It may just be a statement of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Rav Yishuv ben Levi is normally considered an Amora, albeit every now and then, including the very last Mishnah and all of Shas, he is giving a statement that is considered as if he was a Tana. I always remember hearing from a Rebbeim, that if you go through all of Shas, you become a Tana, even though he started off as an Amora. You go through all of Shas, the very last Mishnah in Shas quotes him as a Tana. In any event, here we have a Tanur Rabbanan, which is a Braisa, but we see ultimately this is a member of Rav Yishuv ben Levi. And it is the famous Braisa where it tells us, Asara Tanoim Hisna Yehoshua. There were 10 Tanoim, there were 10 conditions that Yeshua, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, the start of the 7 years of Kibush, the 7 years of conquering Eretz Yisrael, followed by the 7 years of dividing up Eretz Yisrael, the 7 years of Chiluk. So there were conditions that Yeshua imposed, so to say, upon all the Jewish people in order to facilitate Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And these are the 10 conditions. We see there really are 11 over here. One of them was really from Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll explain in the Gemara as well. And we turn to Pei Aleph, Omen Aleph, and these conditions were the following. Shihu Marin Bechoroshin. This is what we already had previously in the Gemara, and this is what leads us into the discussion of why there were 10 Tanoim that Yeshua did. The first one was that you're allowed to go and pasture your animals. And we're going to discuss all 10 in more detail, so we'll just go through them in the basic understanding right now, and then go. The Gemara will discuss all 10 in detail. So Rashi tells us over here that the behemos, you're allowed to go and pasture your animals at Bechoroshin, in the yar, in the forest. V'shalo yakbid bal hayar al-kach, and the person who owns the forest won't be makbid on this. In other words, you have the right to go and graze your animals in those forests, even if they were owned by private people. And that was one of the tanoim Yeshua made in order to facilitate Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Number two, umelakdin asin bisadosein. You're allowed to go and collect wood from those fields. We'll see and define this. It doesn't really mean you can go collect wood directly. It means you can collect certain types of thorns and thistles and little bits of firewood that are still attached to the ground from your friend's field. Mistechaver, Rashi says. And likewise, uchein asavim and grass, lemaychal behemoth, to go and feed your animals. So this is all permitted by the tekana of Yeshua. Number three, umalakdin asavim b'chomakom chutz mitilson. And you're allowed to go and graze your animals and gather grass for them to go and eat, with the exception of a field that has tilson in it. Rashi explains, because demalu lo asavim hagdelos ima, the grass is good for the tilson, and therefore if your animals were allowed to go and graze and eat this grass that's around the fields of tilson, tilson is normally, Rashi says, translated as fenugreek, so if they were allowed to go and eat the grass around it, it would ruin the fenugreek. As Rashi says, this is a maigla over here for the grasses for the tilson, and vahatolshon, and if somebody were to go and graze their animals and uproot this grass, mafs it as a tilson. They would cause the tilson to deteriorate, and therefore you're not allowed to do this in a field that has tilson, but otherwise Yeshua was masaking that you can go graze your animals in fields where there's just grass. Number four, the kotmin nitios v'chol mokom chutz migrufios shel zayis. Rashi explains over here that you're allowed to go and cut down the shoots, the growths over here from a tree in order to go and take some off and graft and make more trees in Eretz Yisrael. So you're allowed to go and cut even the branches of the zayis tree and go and do this in order to facilitate the planting of more trees, with the exception that you can't go and do this within shnei grufios. Rashi explains, as you see in Tosus actually, that this means two handfuls worth. In other words, two fistfuls, two grufios here means egrofos. Tosus explains that Dirumas Chutz Migrufios Shozayis. And he says that Rashi holds over here, Mole Shnei Egrofin, that you're allowed to go and cut it up to when you're within two fistfuls of the bottom of the tree won't be able to regrow if you go and cut them off over there, and therefore you have to leave at least that amount. Mishom ein liktom in the tiyom it neshe mafsid es agrufios. It's going to ruin the tree if you go and cut it that low. Tosus explains further from the Aruch, and he says that this means that you can cut off the anothim v'anfi hazayis. They're called the grufim. You can cut off some of the leaves and some of the branches over here like a yichur b'te'ena uzmora b'gfanim, like you can cut off from the te'ena tree, from a fig tree, or the vines of a vineyard, she call echad yeshlo shem levado. They each have their separate names. That's why this is called grufio, specifically for zayis. In any event, you're allowed to go and do this in order to, again, facilitate the yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. Then we go to number five. Umayon hayotzi batchila b'nei ha'ir mistapkim imenu. If you have a spring that comes out now anew from an area, as opposed to, Rashi says, Choshekein Mayonos Yeshanim, if it was an older spring that had been there for a while, before the days of Yoshua, so even a new spring, and certainly an old spring, the people are allowed to go and take the water from there and use it. Next one is number six, Umechakin B'yama Shol Tveria. Rashi explains that we're dealing here with the Yam of Tveria, which was owned by Shevet Naphtali. As Rashi says, V'afu pishu b'chelik Naphtali haisa, Kula, the entire Yam Kinneret, the entire Galilean Sea, the Kinneret, was entirely in the Shevet of, it fell within the domain of the Shevet of Naphtali. Nevertheless, people were allowed to go and fish there. Mechakin is a lashon of a hook. So you're allowed to go and fish in the Yam Shel Tveria, in the Kinneret, because this was something that would facilitate the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you're allowed to do this. However, Obuvad Shlo Yifros Kela V'yamid Esesvina. But, however, Rashi explains, Shlifros Kela means that it was the custom, Derech Tzayadim, the custom of the people who would go fish, Litkoa Yesedos, they would go and plant these posts in the water, Lassos Gidrei Konim B'mayim, and then they would go and put reeds next to all these posts and make sort of like a trap over there, Liloki Shom Dogim, and go and trap the fish over there. And Rashi says, "V'korim lo b'mkomenu gezer." This is what Rashi says they call the gezer. U'be'eres Ashkenaz korim lo vacha. So this is what they called in Germany. In Ashkenaz, they called it a vacha. And shelo yifros kela means mipneishem akev u'mamid es asfina. You're not allowed to do this because it would not allow the boats to easily pass over here. So they were allowed to go fish there, but they couldn't set up these special types of traps in that area. Tosus says that this actually was forbidden for even the people of Naphtali. Tosa says in the Ramas Muchakin, he says, Kol Adam, this was for everybody. Ubavash lo yifrosh kela, nami l'chol Adam. This applied to everybody. So everybody was allowed to fish, and nobody was allowed to get set up these traps to prevent the boats from going over there. Vafilu habal matzman, even the people from Shevet Naphtali. And he brings this down, shehisnu ashvatim zeh mzeh. This was one of the tenoyim that they agreed with each other. However, avotzodhu b'michmoros ubereshes vainu habalim shulahem. But the local people, people from Shevet Naphtali, were allowed to go and trap in a way that was more than just the fishing of the other Shvatim, but they still weren't allowed to make it that the boats couldn't go. That's the way Rashi understands. The other ways to understand is we'll go weiter. The next one, number seven, the Nifnin Liachori Hagoder. A person is allowed to go to the bathroom on the other side of a stone fence. Ba'afilu basadanid, this is a field, Mileya Karkum. It's a field of saffron that would be ruined by the person defecating over there. Now, Rashi explains that Liachori Hagoder means that you're allowed to go and take even the stones, litol hemenu tzror, from this stone fence in order to wipe yourself. They used to wipe themselves with stones. So you'd be allowed to do this, v'afilu sheporitz together, even though this is going to a certain extent, make the wall no longer a good wall because you're taking away some of the stones. So this is the way Rashi understands this, and others understand as well that the defecating over there is going to ruin the field of saffron. So that is number seven. Number eight. Now, here, this we'll see is from Shlomo HaMelech and not from the Brisa of Rav Shuvah Levi. So this is number eight. Umahalchin b'shvilei harishus. You're allowed to go and walk in paths that were known as the paths of permission, shvilei harishus, asheteret revi yoshniya, up until the second rains come. In the Gemara, in Tainis, we have a three-way machlokas as to when the revi yoshniya comes, when the first rains start, the second rains start, and then the third rains start. And Rashi tells us over here that you're allowed to go over here, not stand the other plain people who aren't the owners of those fields are allowed to walk there. They were given permission to walk there by Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll explain later on in the Gemara. And in this situation, they could go there up until the times of the second rains, because at that point in time, they would start sprouting already, and if you were to go beyond that point, it would go and ruin the sprouts. Now, Rashi gives one of the three opinions in the Gemara in Tainis, and he says that this period of time is from Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan. And Umi'oz V'Hala has Royim Tzomchos, that at that point the plants start sprouting through the ground, the Koshalor Drisas Aregla, and that would be detrimental to the growth of the field. So therefore, up until then, when there's really no harm done by walking there, you're allowed to walk there in these permissible roads that they're allowed to go and walk through the private property, through the fields of an individual. Okay, that's number 8. Number 9, umistalkin letzidei hadrochim ibnei yisedos hadrochim, and you're allowed to walk through the paths of fields of people on the side because of these yisedos hadrochim. What is this? Rashi explains that afilu bizman shetfua besaldos, even when the grains were already growing in the fields, nevertheless, they were allowed to walk on the sides of the field rather than the middle of the roads, and walk right on the boundary in the private area, even though there's grain growing in the field right next to them, because of these yisedos hadrochim. What is this? So Rashi explains, b'yamosachama yovei shatit, during the summer when it's dry, so the mud would dry up, v'nasi yisedos, and it would become difficult to walk through the public area, the roads, because of these dried up posts that would form from the mud. And this was therefore difficult for a person or his animals to go over there, and therefore they would go on the side of the fields. So that was something that was given permission as well. Number 10, Vatoa Ben HaKromim, if a person gets lost in a vineyard, Mifaseg V'Ola, Mifaseg V'Yorid, he's allowed to cut his way out. He gets stuck inside these vineyards, so you're allowed to go and cut off some of the branches in order to let yourself out. Menasik Zemoris, Rashi says, Hanoshavos, Hamaakvos, or so. You can go and cut through some of the vines that are preventing you from getting around this vineyard. So you can go and cut those off. You have the right to do so. You may have to pay the owners for them, but you have the right to go and do this. And that was number 10 that we have here in the Brisa, and finally number 11. Again, we start off saying that it's 10, the Gemara will ask, well, you said the 10, and then you give us 11, so see, the one that I mentioned was from Shlomo Melech. And then finally, the last one, which is number 11 over here, Umeis Mitzvah, Kone Mekomo. And Nebuch, if a person dies and he's truly Umeis Mitzvah, he has nobody to bury him, there's no family members, there's no family plot, so then you bury him right where he is, Umeis Mitzvah, Kone Mekomo. Rashi says, Mokom Shenofal, Shom, Be'eis Moso, the place where he dies, he's allowed to be buried over there. And the person who owns that field is not allowed to say, hey, don't bury him over there. Okay, these are the 10/11 conditions of the Brisa from Yoshua, one from Shlomo HaMelech, and now we'll discuss all 11 of these in more detail. We go to the first one. Shu marin b'charoshin. You're allowed to go past your animal in a private forest. So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa says, lo amarin, this was only allowed, this Tanai from Yoshua was only elodaka begasa, only for small animals like goats and sheep in a large forest. Begasa. Daka here refers to the animals, and gasa here refers to the forest. So that's allowed because it won't ruin the forest. However, avol daka bedaka, but to take these small animals, the goats and sheep, but to have them pass through in a small forest, they'll ruin the forest. Or to take a large animal, vagasa, and let it go and graze, even in a large forest, vagasa, that's also not allowed. And certainly, you don't even have to tell me, that wasn't allowed low. But kosher came gasa bedaka low. And certainly, to take large animals and have them graze in a small forest, that certainly is not allowed. So the yish of Eretz Yisrael tonight was only for the smaller animals in a large forest. Then we said, umalakdim eitzim misodoseihem, that you're allowed to go and gather in wood from the fields. So this also, we have to qualify it. Lo amarin, that was only said, ela bihizmi vihigi. This is like thorns and thistles. This is like small little growths over here, not real full trees. You can't go chop down somebody's tree for firewood. Avol bishar eitzim lo. But with real trees, you're not allowed to go and chop down somebody else's forest, their trees. Vafilu bihizmi vihigi. And even when we said you're allowed to go take these thorns and thistles, these small little branches over here, you're only allowed to take them, lo amarin, ela bimukhubarin, only when they're still attached to the ground. Because if they were detached from the ground, abu betlushin, lo, because as Rashi points out, the person obviously wants them. Achri shetorach aleim, the person cut them down, so the owner of this field, the Baal HaSadeh, wants them. And therefore, also litlon, the daiti alayu, because he obviously cut them down for his usage, and you can't just go take them in. Furthermore, even when they're attached to the ground still, vafilu b'mchubarim, lo amorin el b'lach, you're only allowed to go and take them and cut them down if they're still moist, because obviously he wasn't planning on using them so much for firewood at that point in time. But if they were Yevashim, Abo Yevashim, then lo. As Rashi says, Daito Aleim La'or, you're already thinking, no, that's good firewood. It's dried out firewood. So even if it's attached to the ground, the owner of that field wants it. Therefore, you're only allowed to take it if it's still moist and attached to the ground. And finally, Ubavad Shol Yisharish. When the person uproots it, he has to make sure he doesn't uproot the entire tree. He's allowed to cut off some of the branches, but he can't uproot the tree because that would be the opposite of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, in order to facilitate people in being Yashiv Eretz Yisrael, we did allow, Yoshua said, people to come and go take some firewood from someone else's field. However, it only has to be firewood that's still moist and attached to the ground, and you're not going to cut down the entire tree, and you're only going to take little thorns and thistles and little branches over here that are still attached to the ground. Obviously, the owner doesn't care about those. Then we had said, we said that you're allowed to have the grass, graze your animal in the grass, except in a field that was grass and tilson. And as Rashi explained earlier, Rashi said, that it was good for the tilson to go and have grass there. And that's why if you eat the grass, you're going to harm the tilson, and that you don't have the right to do. So the Gemara suggests that Lameimra, this implies the tilson, that the tilson is benefited by having grass over there. But that seems to go against a din elsewhere where we have a din of kilayim. Grass in the tilson would be kilayim, possibly, or mini. Tilson should also imine asavim. If you have tilson growing with various types of growths that would be kilayim with it, these various types of grasses, we don't go and uproot them for you. In the chayv nosalaka, we don't make you go and uproot them right now. We don't uproot them for you. And you don't have to uproot them right now because eventually you're going to want to uproot them because it's actually detrimental to the tilson. So this Mishnah that we just brought down from Kilayim seems to suggest that the grass is bad for the Tilson. We brought down, however, that the grass is good for the Tilson. So which one is it? So Amar Rav Yirmi, Yirmi says, Lo Kasha, there's no steer over here between this Mishnah and Kilayim and our 10 reasons of Yoshua, because Kan Lezera, the Mishnah in Kilayim says, when you're doing it for the Tilson to be used for seed, so then Rashi says, in that situation, Shat Tilson Omedes Lizara, when you're using the Tilson for seed, so then the grass is actually detrimental to it. However, in our statement of the 10 reasons, so then Kan Lizirin, that's when you're using it for eating it purposes for the stalks of the Tilson, so then the grass is actually beneficial for it. Why is that? Because Lizara, Rav Yirmi explains that when you're having the grass there and the tilson is being used for zera, kashul asavim, the grass actually deteriorates the tilson. So you definitely can uproot it. And that's why the Mishnah Kilayim said, don't worry, we don't have to go and tell you to uproot it because you're going to uproot it on your own because it's definitely detrimental. The mechashul, because the grass will actually make the tilson worse. It will weaken it. However, if you're using the tilson for the stalks themselves, lazirin, so then the grass is good for it, malilo. Why is that? The chikaine, dene, asavim, mirkava. Because when it's growing amongst the grass, so the tilson can lie on the grass supports it, and the tilson will grow better. Another explanation is, Yibayi Seima, it depends. Kanli Odom, in the Mishnah and Kilayim, it's when a person is going to eat it, so then the grass is bad for the tilson, it'll definitely cut it down before there's a problem of Kilayim. Whereas in our Brisa, the 10 reasons that Yeshua, the Tanoim that Yeshua made, Kanli Behema, that's when animals are grazing from it. The Kivin the Behemu Desara, Asavim Nami Biboila. Since the animal wants, the person wants to graze his animal over there, so the owner of the field wants the fenugreek, the tilson, for his animals. He also wants the grass for his animals, so therefore you don't have the right to go and graze in that field. Uminoya dina, so the Gemara says, how are you supposed to know if the person is growing the fenugreek for human consumption and then the grass is bad for it, or if he's growing it for animal consumption and he wants the grass there? So Amar Rapapa says, share me share. It depends how the grass and the fenugreek is arranged. If the fenugreek is arranged very, very nicely in rows, share me share, so then it's clear the other. He's obviously doing it for the other. As Rashi says, asuim karugos, if you make it in rows, so then it's for a person to eat it. Lo share me share, if he doesn't make it in rows, because the animal's going to graze it. The animal doesn't need to have it nicely in rows to be easily picked by a person. The animal's going to graze wherever it is. So if it's not in nice arugos, and not in nice rows, so then it's clear that it's for lebehema. Okay, then the next condition was the kot min netia b'chomokim. You'll have to go cut off the to cut off branches to graft. And when you're dealing with an olive tree, chutz mi grofios shel zayis, you have to leave a certain amount behind. You can't go and cut off so much of the tree that it won't regrow. Pirshu Rabbi Tanchum Rabbi Birias Mishum Zokin Echad. Rabbi Tanchum and Rabbi Birias said over the name of a Zokin Echad. This Zokin Echad will be the author of this Brisa, which we'll see is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Bizayis Kebetza, that this amount that you have to leave is at least a Kebetza's worth of the tree beyond where you cut it off. And bekanim ubikfanim, and if you're dealing here with reeds or vineyard, a vine, so then you have to leave min hapkak ulamala. A pkak is like a kesher, a knot that's in the vine or in these reeds, so you have to leave at least above that. And shar kol ilos, and for all other trees, min ubo shel ilon. Rashi explains the word, he doesn't have ubo, he has me'evo shel ilon. He says, mi pirio, from its fruits, kolomar me'anofa, from its branches, harachin vidakin, the leaves where it's soft and where it's thin. So that you have to leave. You can't take that much. Velo min chudo shel ilon, likewise, you can't take from the chudo. Rashi says, this is me'anofim gedolim vigasin. This is from large leaves and branches over here. And alternatively, he says, lishna rino, me'chuvo ishel ilon me from the inside where there are a lot of branches, the in the middle, and not from the middle area and above, which is the high ones, the ikor ilan, and this is the essential part of the tree, so you can't take from that part of the tree. And anyway, these parts of the tree you're not allowed to take from because it will ruin the tree. Furthermore, take it from an area where it's a brand new type of a shoot that hasn't yet given fruit, and therefore you're not really harming the tree. Velo min yashan, and don't take it, however, from an older branch, shoals aperus, which already does produce fruit. So if you cut it off, you're going to harm the person because he now loses the fruit from that branch. And likewise, mimokum shein roa sachama, go and take it from a place that doesn't get so much sun, because in this place, it won't grow so much, and therefore they won't make so much fruits, and you're not hurting the owner. And we turn to Pei Aleph Omid Beis, and don't take it, and not from a place that is very sunny, where it sees the sun, because that's where the fruits are going to grow. And this is based upon the passage, so it will grow best in the sun. So that's taking it from places that it doesn't harm the owner. That was the Tanai that Yeshua made. Next, it said, "Umayin yotzei tchila b'nei ir mistapkim menu." A brand new Mayan, and certainly an older Mayan, Rashi had said, you're allowed to go and have people go and take from there. Amar Rabba by Rav Huna, Rabba Bruna said, "Benosi lo damim, you have to go pay for this. You're not allowed to just go take it without taking, because it's his spring. However, v'les hilchus hakavasi." But the Gemara says that this statement from Rabba Bar Huna is not lahalacha. Nope, you can even take it without paying for it. The next one was, we said, you're allowed to go fish in the Kinneret, u'mechakin b'yama shel Tveria, but you can't go and put in these posts into the water and spread out nets over there. Even the people from Naphtali weren't allowed to do this because it's going to not allow boats to go. U'vachlo yivros kela b'yamidis asfina. However, but the people in Naphtali were allowed to go put out much more extensive traps as long as the boats were still able to go there, but the other people could just go fish there. They couldn't put out these extensive traps. Tana Rabbanon, we have another brisa here that tells us, Berishono, Hisnu Shvatim Zem Zeh. Originally, all the Shvatim, they made an agreement amongst each other, Shlo Yifros Kliya, B'yaminis Asfina, that originally even the people from Naphtali said they're not going to go put out these posts over here in the water that would prevent the boats from going through. But they agreed that Naphtali, the people from Naphtali, could go and put out these various types of nets and traps that wouldn't stop the boats from growing. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanon, Yamo Shel Tveria Bechelko Shel Naphtali, as we've already pointed out, the Kinneret, the Yam Shel Tveria, was totally within the confines of Shevet Naphtali. Below Ode, furthermore, Ela Shenotam Melo Chevel Cherem Bidroma. Now, technically, on the southern border, that would already belong to the next Shevet. But in order to facilitate Naphtali's usage of the Kinneret, so they took a strip of land on the southern border of the Kinneret, Lekayim Mashenemar, to fulfill that which Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yom V'Darom Yerosha, that Naphtali would have the entire Kinneret as well as the Dorum, a strip of land on the bottom southern part of the Kinneret. So they took that piece of land over so they could go and use that land to help with their with all their nets and their ropes that they were allowed to go and use. Tanya, we learned another bright story. Rishim and Lazar Omer, Tolushin Shebaharim. When the Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, any trees that had already been cut down, Tolushin Shebaharim, they belonged not to the Shevet that owned that land, but Cheskas Kol HaShvatim owned them. That was already considered something that was detached from the land, that wasn't considered part of their land, and therefore it was booty that belonged to all of the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. However, umuchubarin, those trees that were attached to the ground, they were considered like the ground. So becheskes also a shevet. So they belonged to the shevet that owned that land. And there wasn't a single shevet in all of Eretz Yisrael, all 12 shvatim, she'ein lo, that didn't have bahar, some elevated area, ubashvela, some low-lying land, ubanegev. Banegev doesn't mean they were in the south, it means in the Negev. Negev means that it was dried up, a land that didn't really have shade in it, and therefore it got dried up. So that's where the source of the word Negev comes, that was menagev, it was dried up, ubaimek, and also had valleys. So every portion of Eretz Yisrael had different types of land in it, so that every shevet had a certain amount of har shvela negev and emek. And this is based upon the pasuk shenemar, pinu usulachem ubo har elmeri velkosh chenov barava bahar uvashvela uvanegev uvichof hayam vegomer. So everybody had a little bit of everything. That's the gears that we have. Rashi, it wasn't Goris, all of this. That these nations also had a little bit of everything. So when Klai Yisrael conquered them, they got a little bit of everything. Shenemar, the Elkosh Shchenov. The neighbors also had the same thing. Amo Shchenov Hochi Havu. So too, these neighboring countries of Eretz Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael conquered them, so they would have all the different types of land in every one of these countries as well. The next condition that Yoshua had made was v'nithrin le'achori ha'geder. You'll have to go to the bathroom on the other side of a stone fence that belongs to a private person. V'afilu besodeh shimaleya karkom. And even this was a field that was maleya karkom. It was a saffron field, which again, the defecation would somehow be bad for that field. So therefore, you're destroying the wall, plus the defecation would be bad for that field. Omer Vachaber Yaakov, lo nitzucho el elito limenut tzra. So the chiddush that Vachaber Yaakov said, which I've already told us, is that you're allowed to go and take off a stone from the wall there, even though you're destroying his fence somewhat, but you're allowed to, for covered up brios, you're allowed to go and take a stone. This would facilitate people from traveling all over the soul. They knew that they would have a bathroom, they would be able to take the stones there, and they would be able to take care of their needs, and therefore, this was to facilitate Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. Amar Chista, this is allowed, Vafilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and do this. You might have thought that this is Muktza on Shabbos, and no, these stones are considered Muchan for you, for Shabbos, and you're allowed to go and use them. Where it tells us the practice of Marzutra Chasida. He was a very righteous person, Marzutra Chasida. That's why his name was Chasida, the righteous person. So what would he do after he used one of these stones? So Shokil Umahader. After he used the stone on Shabbos, so then after Shabbos, he would go and return it back to the wall. For Amalei L'Shamis, he would tell his Shamis, we either delete the word L'mocho, or it means that it wasn't on Shabbos that he did this, Zil Shirke. Go put it back. As Rashi says, Tachihu betit v'chavreyu yofe. Go and put it back well into the wall. In other words, I don't want to damage the person's wall. It was nice enough to let me use the stone, but let's put the stone back in. Okay. Then we had said, Umahalchim b'shvile harishuos ashiterid revio shnia, that you're allowed to go and walk in the paths over there on the through the fields of the person up until the second rain, because it's not going to hurt the person's field when you walk there until the second rain. That's when the sprouts start coming up, and at that point in time, you can't walk over there. Amra papa v'haydi don, our land in Babel, afilu tal koshila, even a little bit of dew is bad for it. When the dew comes down, Rashi says, when the dew comes down, yorad aleh belaila, so kasha lo drisa sarego mimochraso. Once you have dew coming, so then already, if a person walks there, it's going to be harmful. So it's not only the second revia in Eretz Yisrael, but in Babel, even once the dew starts coming down, so then a person walking in that field is going to be harming that field. Then we had said, that you're allowed to walk on the sides of the road because of these yesedos, these posts or pegs that are in the road from the dirt, the mud, drying up. Now, Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Abu Shoklev, Ozli Borcha. One time Shmuel Rav Yehuda walking together on the road after Rav passed away. Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, so he was walking with his rabbi, and Hava Mistali Shmuel Litzidi Hadrachim. They were walking in Babel, and Shmuel went off onto the side of the road because of these posts that were in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah. So he went off to walk on the side of the road in somebody's private field. So Rav Yehuda is surprised at this. Omer Rav Yehuda, Tanoim Shehis Yeshua Afilu B'Babel. These Tanoim that Yeshua made, that you're allowed to walk in the person's field. So that was in Eretz Yisrael. Does that apply to Babel as well? So Shmuel tells me, yeah, absolutely. Shani Omer, Afilu B'chutz La'aretz. Yes, this applies any place with a Yishuv of Jewish people, and that this will facilitate the Yishuv of the Jewish people. Similarly, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia was a star pupil of Rebbe, and Rebbe and Rebbe Chia were walking together. They're once walking on the road, and they also had a hard time walking in the middle of the Shusha Rabbah because of these posts that were there, and they walked on the side of the road. Now, that's the Gersa that we have. Others have the Gersa of the Nekusa. In any event, they saw this person, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kenusa, that was walking ahead of them, Kamayu. Now, he was walking in the middle of the road. He didn't take advantage of this kula that you're allowed to walk on the roads of a private person, going through these paths that were given permission to go and walk on these Side Hadrachim, Mipnei Sodus Hadrachim. So Amalei Rebbe Leruchia, Rebbe is surprised. Here we are, the Gadol Hador Rebbe and his star pupil Reb Chia, we're taking advantage of this kula, and this other Yid, this Reb Yehuda ben Kenusa, he's not taking advantage of it. That's Yuara. That's a very arrogant pose that he's doing, that we're taking advantage of the kula, and he's not. So Miuze Shemare Gedula Bifonenu. Who is this person that is acting, Rashi says over here, with a Mechzik Yuara? He's acting in a very arrogant way, that he's, oh, I'm not going to take advantage of that kula. Even though the great Gedoli Hadar, I'm taking advantage of that kula. So who is this person? So Amalo Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia says, Yehuda Nasi, his great Rebbe. Rebbe? So he tells him, Amalo Rebbe Chia, Shema, I think, that this is Rebbe Yehuda ben Kenusa, Talmidehu. They weren't right there, so they have to go catch up to him, so to say, and see who it was. And he says, yeah, that's my Talmud, Rebbe Yehuda ben Kenusa. And that Talmud, the whole Maisel, L'Shem Shemayim, he is an absolutely pure person. He only does things L'Shem Shemayim. He does things Lifnei Meshuras Hadin all the time. And therefore, he's not doing it as you are. That is the normal way that he acts. So Kimatu Legabe, they went to catch up to him, and they saw Chazir that indeed it was Rav Yehuda ben Kenusa. So Amalei, Rebbe, said to this Talmud of Rav Chia, Rav Yehuda ben Kenusa, Ilav Yehuda ben Kenusa, if it wasn't for the fact that you are this person that Rav Chia is telling me is such a diligent person and everything, Kol Maisel L'Shem Shemayim, so what you did is not right. Gizartinu, we would have taken a piece of iron and we would have cut off, Gizartinu means we would have cut off the shakach to your thigh, Begizra de Parzla, with an iron club. So, if it wasn't for the fact that you're such a tzaddik, you would have been put into chayim. Rashi says, didn't mean literally that they would have hit him. It means, call my nidui, we would have put you into chayim, into nidui. Then we had said, hatoa ben akramim, if a person is stuck inside a vineyard, mefaseg v'yored, mefaseg v'ol, you'll have to cut your way out. But of course, you'll have to pay for the damage that you did. Tana rabbanon, haroach haveira toa ben akramim, if you see another person stuck in the vineyards, so you're allowed to go help him out. Mefaseg v'ol, mefaseg v'yored, you're allowed to help cut him out. Ashma leyu, la'ir, oladerach, until you get him to where he's supposed to be going, to the city or to the road. V'cheinu shetoa ben akramim. And likewise, if you're lost in the krum, you can do the same thing for yourself. Mefaseg v'ol, mefaseg v'yored, ashyal, la'ir, oladerach, until you get out. And it says, what are you telling me over here? V'chein hu shetoa. If you can do it for somebody else, of course you can do it for yourself. What do you have to say? And likewise, you can do it for yourself. So when I says, no, I might have thought that chaveiro hu, that for your friend, where you're on the outside and he's on the inside, and you know exactly how you to cut him his way out with the minimal amount of damage, the yod aleichem esalik, you know exactly what you need to cut in order to get your friend out. The nivsog a little bit over here in order to get him out. That's allowed. Aval hu, when you're the one that's stuck inside and you're not sure how to get out, and you're going to hack away and cut away, and you're going to cut away quite a bit, maybe the lo yod aleichem kosalik, since you don't know exactly how to get out, you're going to cut too much, lo nivsog, maybe you're not allowed to cut yourself out. And nedre nedarbe meitre, and maybe you just have to keep on going and going and going and going around and around and around until you find your way out. So therefore, kamash ulan, the v'chein who is telling us, no, even if it's going to cause a significant amount of damage, you're allowed to cut your way out. So this was one of the takanos that Yeshua made. Moses says, this is a takan of Yeshua, this is a din daraisu, daraisu, because the pasuk tells us, the Tanya, hashavas gufo minayin, how do we know that if you have to return a lost object to the owner, that you have to go and return the owner, so to say, to himself. Tamalama vashevoso. The pasuk says, "Es gufo mashvashim toa chaveru ato tzorich laloso laderach." That you have the right to go and cut his way out. So this is din deraisa. Why do you have Yoshua have to make a takana? So what's it though? On a deraisa level, deraisa who do koy be meitzri? No, maybe you have to walk the long way around, go around and around and around until you find your way out. So also who talking? Along comes Yeshua and makes the takana. No, that you can cut your way out. The mefaseg v'ola, mefaseg v'yore. So therefore, that is a tonight that Yeshua made. Then we said, umeis mitzvah, konam mekomo. It said a mace mitzvah, a person dies, and there's nobody to bury him, so then the people that go and bury him, so they bury him right there, even though it's in somebody's field. More questions, and says, wait a second, Rumini, but we have a braisa that seems to say, no, you don't bury the mace mitzvah right over there. Hamosi, mace muto, b'isracha. If you go find a mace mitzvah, a person doesn't have anybody to bury him, in the Rishus HaRab, and Rashi says, isracha is the Rishus HaRab, and tezayin ama, so then, mifaneyu liyamin isracha, or the smallest isracha, you don't leave him right in the middle of the field, where you'll bury him, and then you'll cause all the passerbys over here to have a problem with taharos and all sorts of other tum and tahara issues. So in this situation, you move him to the right side of the isracha or to the left side of the isracha. You don't bury him right there. Stay boor or stay near. And if the two sides have different things on their sides, one side is a stay boor, which is a fallow field, and the other one is stay near, is a plowed field, so then preferable to put him into the fallow field, mefaneh l'stei bor, because there was less work done in that field, and the owner is going to be less upset. Okay, at least I didn't plow that field, and you're burying him over there. If the choices are between the stay near, between this plowed field and the field that has been planted, ustei zera, so then, again, more work has been done on the stei zera, so better to go and put the nebuch, the meis mitzvah, mefaneh l'stei near, into the field that's been plowed, but at least it hasn't been planted. If they're both the same, on the right or the left, how you stay in boros, they're either both fallow field, or stay in diros, or they're both plowed fields, or stay in zeros, or they're both planted fields, so then it doesn't make a difference whether it's to the right or the left of the isracha, so you can bury him wherever you want. Now here you clearly see that the mace is not kone makomo. So where it says, Amrav Bibi b'mutal al hametzar. We're dealing over here that he's on a very, very narrow part of the isracha, and therefore anybody passing over him in this brisa is going to have to go and become tomei with tumas ohel, and therefore mitok shenito lefanoso. So therefore we move him so it doesn't cause all the problems of tumatara. Once you move him, so then you have the right to go move him into the best place. Okay, now we asked the question that I already alluded to before. It says that there were 10 takanos that Yoshua made, but as I counted them, we had 11. You're telling me Asara takanos also Yoshua, Asara. But then honey chatzrei havim. But if you count them up, there were 11. So Gemara says, as I pointed out already, mahalchin bishvilei harishus shlomo amora, that takana that you're allowed to go on the shvilei harishus, you can walk through those paths that were in private person's field, but they were given permission to walk over there until the revia shnia. So that wasn't from Yoshua, that was from Shlomo HaMelech. Kiditanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Harishakolu Perosov Minasodeh, once all the fruits had been harvested from the field, the Eino Meiniach Bneodim Likonis Besoch Sodeyu. If you do not let people come into your field, what do people say about you? Why is he not letting us go and walk in his field? All the fruits have been picked, all the grains have been picked, we're not damaging his field in any way. What damage are we possibly doing? Why does this like guy let us walk there? So all of a kosev omer about such a person who's not so nice, it says, Mios tov, al tikri ra. Instead of being good, don't be bad. And it says, where do we find such a pasuk? Miksiv, Mios tov, al tikri ra. Makes it sound like there's an actual pasuk like that. There is no such pasuk like that. And it says, in, there is. Kisiv, ki hagada. Because we do have a pasuk from Mishle where Shlomo HaMelech says that instead of a person being bad, he should try to be good. It says, Ksiv Kiai Gavn. It says something similar to that, where it says, Al Timna Tov Mibalav. Don't stop good from coming to people. Biyos Le'el Yodcho Lasos. When you have the power, Le'el over here is not a Loshon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the power, the strength to do something good. In other words, don't be a bad person here. It doesn't hurt you at all to let them walk in your fields. They're not ruining your fields. All the grains have already been picked. The new grains that you planted, they're not going to be damaged until the Revi'ah Shnia. No, once the Revi'ah Shnia comes, then you don't have to let them go and walk over there. Gemara continues and says, really, were these the only gezeiros that Yeshua put into play? Vesuleka, there are no others. Va'iko de Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that Yeshua instituted another gezeira. The Tanya, we learn in the following Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bishas, Hotzaz, Volim. During the time when people take out their, the waste products that they have and they put them out into the Shusha Rabbim, so for example, they have animals and they take out the refuse, the feces from the animals, and they put it into Rosh Hashanah. So you're allowed to do this. The Yeshua is besakin for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or the Motze Zivlul Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to take the zevel, this waste from the animals, out and put it into Rosh Hashanah. Bitzovru Kol Shloshim. You can gather it together there, pile it up for a 30-day period of time, in order that Kedei Shehei Nishov Biragle Odu Biragle Behema. So that, again, it's difficult for us to understand, but the people would then step on it, and the animals would step on it, and they would compound it, and it would become usable as fertilizer. Shamanaz Kain Hinchu Yeshua Yisrael Es Aretz. So this is one of according to the Tanoim, that Yeshua said people are allowed to do this in order to have Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So here we see that there's another condition that Yeshua said. Why did the Braise say that we brought down, say, only 10? He should have listed this one as well. And furthermore, we have another Tana, Rishmol ben Oshav Yochum Mibroko, who gave us three additional decrees that Yeshua had set up to allow Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. For Iko de Rishmol ben Oshav Yochum Mibroko, the Tanya, he learned in the following Braise, the following three things. Rishmol ben Oshav Yochum Mibroko, Omer, Tanai, based in who? It is a Tanai of the basin of Yeshua, Shehei Ze Yore Letov Sode Chadero, the code says Socho Shel Chadero, that a person has the right to go into his friend's field. He has a beehive, and his bees have left the beehive and gone into his friend's field and have settled on a tree. So the person who owns the bees has the right to go into his friend's field, v'kotzei socho shel chaver, and to cut off that branch of the tree that all of his bees are on, l'hatzil nochil shlo, in order to save his bees, because they have left his beehive and they've gone to live on that branch, so he can go cut that branch down and bring all the bees back. Okay, you'll have to pay for it. But no, sin lo dimei socho chavero. Socho shel chavero. You'll have to go pay for it. So he'll pay him for the branch that he cut down. Similarly, utnai based in who is another tnai that Yeshua's based in set up. Shezeh shofech yeno umatzu dushano shel chavero. That you have wine in your barrels, which is less expensive than the honey that he has in his barrels. And there's no other barrels that you have available. And his barrel starts to leak. So all of his honey is going to go to waste. Now that's more expensive than your wine. So you have the halachic right to go and pour out your wine, and then in your now empty wine barrels, go and put all of his honey. You'll save his honey. Now you're losing all your wine. You have the right to say, listen, compensate me. Your honey's worth $1,000. My wine was worth $500. So pay me back from your $1,500 for my wine that I gave up to save your honey. And that's what the tonight was. He can take his value of the wine that he lost from the value of the honey that was saved. And the third and final tonight that Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said was, Utnai Basin, who Shehei Zeh Mefarik Es Eitzav. If I'm carrying, let's say on my donkey, I have a lot of wood, but wood's not that expensive. V'toim Pishtano Shel Chavero. And my friend has a lot of expensive flax on his donkey. And the Rashi says his donkey died. So now all of his flax will not be able to get to the market, and that's going to be a significant loss. The wood, if it doesn't get brought to the market, nishkefela. The wood's worth $20. The flax worth $100. So again, similarly for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so he was misaking. She is a mefarik is eight. So I can take off from my donkey the wood, the toin pishtano shalchaveru, and put the flax on my donkey. His donkey died. I put the flax from his dead donkey onto my live donkey. No, I lost my wood, but I saved his flax. So the $20 of my wood I can take out from the $100 of flax that I saved from you. And all of these, these are the takanos that Yeshua made, again, for Yishuv Haaretz. So why weren't these included, the three from Yishmael, Ben Osher, Yochanan, and Broka, and the one from Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer is, because all of these were a das yochid. And the Braisa was only talking about stam, things that everybody agreed to. There are obviously Bali Plukta that disagreed with these opinions of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan and Broka, and therefore they weren't included in our statement of Tana Rabbanan, Asara Tanoim, Hisna Yoshua. I the Gemara says, and we continue on page Beis Amud Aleph, Vok Yosu Rabbi Ovin, Amr Yochanan, Rabbi Ovin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said over the name of Yochanan, Echod Ilan Anot Elisol Stei Chaver. Whether you have a tree that extends its foliage over into the field of your friend, or the Echod Ilan Hasamuch Lemeitzer, or you have a tree that is within the boundary, it's Samuch Lemeitzer. Its roots are going to be within the property, they'll extend under the ground into the property of a friend. It's right on the border. Nevertheless, such a person is considered to have legitimately owned his tree, and therefore, maybe Vikari, he can bring Bikurim, and he fulfills even the idea that he has his own land in Eretz Yisrael, and he's bringing the fruits from that land and bringing Bikurim. And even though he is benefiting from his friend's field, so one could argue that it's not really his field, nevertheless, Shalman Askein, Hinchu Yoshul Yisrael, Esaris. This is another Tanai. So why wasn't this Tanai included? This was also for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is really a kasha, because if this was a brisa we brought down, how could Rav Yochanan and Amora argue with the brisa and extend it by saying that there's another one? Why was it included in the brisa? Someone says, you're right, Taka. Elaman Tana Asora Tenoyim Shehishna Yeshua. This brisa that we brought down, it wasn't really a brisa. It really was Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who, as we pointed out previously, this is Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So no, he's an Amora. Rav Yochanan can argue with him. He said, there's another one. You're listening only these 10. I have an 11th one. And I'll show you that this is right, because Rogvia mebe Kosil Masi lo behedja. Because Rogvia, who came from the city of Kosil, he said this beferish. He said, Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Birias, Ami Mishum Zokin Echad, as we had already brought down earlier this year, this statement was made that Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Birias said over these 10 things in the name of Zokin Echad. And who was that Zokin Echad? Umano Rishum and Levi. Asara Tanoim Hisne Yoshua. So this is an Amoraic statement. It's not really a Braisa. And Rav Yochanan, therefore, has the right to go and argue with it. With this, we conclude today's share.